I'm coming out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. If you're there, let me hear you say, God is good. If you're not there, say, he's still good all the time. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. Follow along as I read, and it says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have learned him or heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible promises that God is kind and merciful and will always be ready to receive us with love when we confess our sins and seek a relationship with him. One of the worst caricatures of God is the image of him as an old angry man. Our past should only be patent reminder of who we were and not a statement about what we are. If all of us were only judged by our past, then it would be easy to believe nothing good could ever happen to us. Jesus came to exchange what we've been for what we'll become. He came to redefine our entry in life's dictionary. Jesus knows what we can become is so much more than what we once were. The problem is we grab onto our past and hold on tight. Maybe we think we'll miss out on something if we don't give our past a depth grip. Our past is familiar, like a favorite but useless thing. We need to release our grip on a ragged part and embrace God's plan for today, tomorrow, and the day after forever. We as children of God need to walk as children of light. That means we have to recognize the person we were, because that was a temporary status. That means we have to face a pressure that we must face consistently, because tribulation worketh patience. And we have to find his power in our life so that we can triumph over our trials. See, we must trust God to guide us and show us the best way to go through his word. See, we have to understand that the Lord is our light and he's shining forward, not backwards. This is why we have to learn to live by faith so that we can lean upon the Lord when it comes to our faith. And we have a responsibility to increase our faith in Christ by investigating our faith as we go along in our life. This is why you and I, we have to guide our light in Christ so that we can glorify his name. And when we glorify his name, then we can give God what he wants, not what we want. This is why we're studying Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 to 24, because the author, who is the Apostle Paul, he wants the believers to read the passage and focus on renewing your mind. Because the purpose of the scripture is for the believers to read the verses and realize or focus that renewing our mind is like changing our clothes. We have to take off the filthy garment, which is our old life, and put on the clean garment, which is our new life in Christ. This process requires us to be consistent in living the truth of Christ. This is why we have to be happy that he goes before us so that we can humble our spirit. And we have to turn away from evil so we can triumph over our past. I'll give you an example. I was reading this story about how this man was being taken to a wedding of his family member by his son, who was only 24 years old and he was single. As they were sitting at the wedding, they noticed that the bride and the groom took the candles each, and they lit up one candle and then blew out their candle. The 24-year-old son was impressed, and he whispered to his father, he said, "I never saw that before." And then his father whispered to him, he said, "You do know what that means, do you?" The young single man, he said, "It must mean no more old flames." What we have to realize is no matter how hard your past has been, we can begin again in Christ. Because you and I, when we initiate a relationship with Jesus by faith through baptism, he takes a candle, we take a candle, and we light that one candle, we become one. Whereby it's no more he and I, but it's us. So that when he sees, when anybody sees you or I, they see Jesus Christ. The title of my lesson is, never be defined by your past. Never be defined by your past. Let's all approach the throne of grace together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Adorable Father, we approach your throne of grace, thanking you for this wonderful, glorious opportunity you allowed each and every one of us to be here this glorious morning. We ask that you'll watch over and strengthen us, oh Father. Help us right now through the Holy Spirit to remove any distraction out of our way, so this word can penetrate our hearts and our mind, oh Father, so that we just will not walk out of here and say, "What a good sermon," but we walk out of here and say, "I have been changed." Father, we ask that you will continue to allow us to always have your voice in our ears so we can value you in our relationship with you, oh Father. Help us to always, oh Father, seek to be near you, oh Lord, so that we can be in a position to spiritually smite any enemies that come at us, oh Father, and know that we already have the victory because you have promised it to us. So right now, Father, we ask that you will continue to love us, continue to guide us, oh Father, continue to help us to move forward with patience, oh Lord, only because you guide us through the Holy Spirit. Be with us. Remove any distraction out of our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 3 points this morning I want to make, and then a lesson to be yours. 3 points. The first point is we have to have a vicarious death. The second point is we have to have a vicarious resurrection. And then the last point would be we have to have a vicarious lifestyle. A vicarious death, a vicarious resurrection, and a vicarious lifestyle. Look at verse 22 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. It says, "Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." You and I, we must make sure that in our life there is a tremendous change, even though it's going to be a tremendous challenge. Disciples must follow the commands of Jesus Christ. Disciples must joyously follow his instructions. Disciples must behave like Jesus. The conduct of the disciple has to be rooted in love and kindness. Disciples speak in the name of Jesus. Disciples know that there is power in his name. See, Jesus promised to give us ultimate victory. This is why Jesus has to be the destiny for the redeemed. This is why we have to be justified by his blood so that we can have the joy of the Lord. And when we have the joy of the Lord, then we have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can establish his righteousness. Because none of us here is perfect or righteous without a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is why we have to stop living in tombs by separating ourselves from sinners so that we can be sufficient in the Lord. This is why we're studying Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, because the goal of the author is for us to focus on deceitful desires. The purpose of the scripture is for when we read the verse, we realize that our old life is fueled by sinful desires that are deceitful, promising us satisfaction when it actually leads to corruption, degradation, and destruction. This is why we have to be able to separate ourselves from worldly sinners so we can be sufficient in the Lord. Because if we be honest with ourselves, we're still sinners running after God. But the world are sinners running away from God. This is why we have to be undivided in Christ so that we can be useful vessels that's unspotted from the world. So we got to be stronger in faith so that we can serve the Lord day and night. Let me give you an example. Quickly turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, we're going to read verse 1 to 5. Now don't get scared of Revelations. I'm not going to go deep. I'm just using this as an example to show you how our new life should take place. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 5. And it reads, if you follow along with me, and it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Here it is. I believe the Holy Spirit led me to this scripture to show us how the new Jerusalem is where God will dwell. So I want us to recognize or imagine us as the new Jerusalem when we initiate a relationship with Christ by faith through baptism. Look at verse 2. It says, "The holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." Here's the first point. Repeat after me, church. The source of our change. Okay, that's it. We have to understand where the source of our change comes from. See, God's mercy reached downward, which helps us to understand the importance of renewing our mind. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you can't continue to live the old way you live. We have to continue progressing forward without looking back. Look at verse 3. It says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people." Here's the second point. Repeat after me, church. The substance of our change. All right? See, not only do God's mercy reach downward, God's mercy reach inward. This is the illustration of renewing our mind. When you make a conscious effort to live for God, you have to see him bringing down a new man inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit. Which why it means that we have to submit to the Holy Spirit by reading his word. You can't keep listening to this foul music and watching foul things on TV and think you're going to submit to the Holy Spirit. Because when you keep feeding your flesh, it becomes stronger than the spirit. Look at verse 5. It says, "Behold, I make all things new." Here's the third point. Repeat after me, church. The scope of our change. God's mercy also reaches outward. And this is the illumination of renewing our minds. See, what we have to understand as brothers and sisters in Christ, for every sunset is an opportunity to reset. As long as it's not your last sunset. Because when this is your last sunset, it's all over and done with. You become new. Hebrews 9, I forget what verse it is, 9, 12, but it says, "For every man is once to die, and then there's judgment." Yes. So once you die, that's it. That's why we got to live right now, because you don't know when your time is coming. And if you want to be a new man, you got to rely on God to change you. Because if you could change yourself, you wouldn't need God. That was the first point. A vicarious death, which means you have to die, that old man has to die inside of you. The second point of the lesson is the vicarious resurrection. Look at verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This means we have to have a changed mind that leads to a changed life. See, a lot of us, we change our minds, but we don't necessarily change our life. And God is not pleased with that. See, Jesus redeemed us with his precious blood, and the Bible predicted that Jesus would be wounded for our transgression. Jesus is constantly interceding for you and I. He earned the right to intercede for us when he died on Calvary. Jesus earned the right to reign forever. The lamb that was slain has now received power, riches, and honor. See, God sent his son to die for our sins, and now he sees only holiness when he looks at us through his son's blood. This is why we have to be justified by his blood, so that we can believe in God, and we need to believe in God that we are bona fide, baptized, born again believers. But just because we baptized don't mean you're saved. When you baptize, you get salvation, but you got to endure faithfully to the end to secure that salvation. I want nobody going and say, see, Brother Sam said, I don't have to be baptized to be saved. I didn't say that. Don't lie on me. I said, you receive salvation when you get baptized, but you got to live faithfully. Because there's people that say, oh, I've been baptized, but they still go out in the world and live any kind of way they want to live. Devil and him and that person is walking hand in hand. See, that's why we have to live his precepts, so that we can live like lights in this world. We have to understand that obedience is necessary so that we can overcome the world. And we overcome the world one day at a time. This is why we study in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, because the goal of the author is for us to read the passage and focus on the transformation. Because the purpose of the scripture is for us to read it and recognize that God requires for us to make a change in our life. That means we have to be different from what the world looks like. See, a lot of us, we come up in here and we look one way, then we go back out in the world and we look just like them. And then when you invite them to church, they say, why I need to go to church with you when we both live in the same way? See, you can fool us all the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. This is why we have to understand that obedience is necessary so that we can overcome the world. We have to be overflowing with faithfulness so that we can obey him in all things. And then we have to develop the mind of the Spirit so that we can delight ourselves in his law. Because when we delight ourselves in his law, now we're allowing the inner man to be renewed daily, whereby we continue to allow that old man to stay buried. Too many of us, we go back to that grave and we dig that old man back out, especially when somebody has come up and hurts our feelings. That's why you need to be here this Sunday in Sunday school. You need to constantly be examining yourself. Again, I was reading a story about how this husband and his wife went to a counselor so they could help the irrecyclable differences. Thank you, irrecyclable. Thank you, Sister Morgan. What she said. So when they went to the counselor, the husband went in. He said, ever since I met my wife, she's been trying to change me. She didn't convince me to stop smoking, stop drinking. Stop staying out late at night and going to parties. She's like, she's even convinced me to start dressing better. She convinced me to enjoy fine dining, classical music, and even ballet. He said, she even convinced me to save my money, not only save it, but invest in my savings. The counselor looked at him, looked at the husband. She said, it seems like to me you have a latent bitterness towards your wife because of all the behavior changes and at one at a time. The husband looked at the counselor confused. He said, in disagreement, no, that's not it. He said, I enjoy the changes. He said, I think I improved so much, I'm too good for this plain woman. Why are you telling us that, Brother Sims? What we have to understand is if we don't change, we don't grow. You can't change if you don't know what you need to be changed. That's why they was talking about Sunday school. We need to self-examine ourselves so we know what needs to be changed. Or you need somebody to kind of let you know what needs to be changed. I used to couldn't stand my wife pointed out my flaws. I used to want, every time she tell my flaw, I'd say, look at your flaws. But I had to learn to say, you know what, I'm going to stop looking at her flaw and listen, because it might be God speaking to her through to talking to me. So I stopped telling her flaws. I said, God, you work on her. Let her tell me what you need, what I need to hear so I can make the changes. Because you need to experience a vicarious resurrection. Third point, a vicarious lifestyle. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. It says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. As believers in Christ, we need to live with more praise to God. Because when we live with more praise to God, now we live with more peace in our life. A personal relationship, we have to have a personal relationship with Jesus, because a right relationship with Jesus gives us powerful renewal of the mind. We have to have an outward or an inward transformation, because the Holy Spirit justifies and sanctifies us for righteous living. And then we have to have an outward manifestation where the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live transformed lives. You can't transform your life on your own. You need God's word to help you transform your mind so that you can live according to what God is telling you in your mind. Let me give you an example of that. Turn with me quickly to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, very familiar passage. Daniel chapter 3, verse 22 to 27. We're talking about the three Hebrew boys. Now, I'm going to try to say their names, but if I mess up, just know it's the three Hebrew boys. Look at verse 22 to 27, and it says, following as I read, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right, I did it. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the prince, governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon those bodies. The fire had no power, nor was an hair of their hair singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. We're talking about a vicarious lifestyle. See, this was a miraculous provision through preservation. The only way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could live or overcome this was to live a vicarious life. They had to live a life that God told them to live, not what that nation told them to live. See, the world try to tell you to live one way, and if it's contrary to God, you need to go opposite than what they're trying to tell you. Look at verse 22. It says, the flame of the fire slew them, these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's the first point of this lesson. Repeat after me, church. Their walk was preserved. See, this was the essence of spiritual growth, that they lived or they experienced a protected way of walking. Because of their relationship with God, God protected their walk even when the enemy was trying to come at them. I'm reading this, I'm teaching this for a reason. Just like what happened to Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it can happen to you. I done seen it happen. It might not have been a furnace fire that I experienced, but it was something like that at my job. And the boss was coming out. You know my story. I had to live. I couldn't go at her the way she'd go at me. I had to go at her the way God would go at her. And God saved me from that. I said, she out of there. She gone. I went 3 years. I said, I'm going to be patient, God. I'm going to live the way you tell me to live. And God got her up out of there. I'm telling you, I know from experience. Look at verse 25. It says, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Here's the second point. Repeat after me, church. Their witness was preserved. This was the extent of their spiritual growth, and then they had a powerful way to witness. See, when you go through something and God bring you through, the world is looking at you. And you witnessing to them how you're supposed to conduct yourself when you're under fire. If you act like the world, they going to follow you and act like you, and God going to be looking at you like, what you doing? Let me keep going before I get too late here. Look at verse 28. That they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Here it is. Now that they want to worship Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God because of what they witnessed through them. Here's the third point. Repeat after me, church. Their worship was preserved. This was the example of spiritual growth so that they can experience a pure way to worship. It's important for you to come to worship. Your worship gives you the strength to go back out into this dark world so that you can keep shining your light. Because the world trying to take your light away. And then they try to remind you of your past. This is why God is awesome in his sanctuary. He gives us power and strength to his people he loves. And what we have to understand is we have royal power. That means we have to perform his virtuous life in our walk so that we can preserve ourselves in Christ. We have to overcome temptation so that we can obtain salvation. You and I, we have to practice walking in his likeness. But while waiting on the light, you have to worship away your problems. Amen. This is why we study in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, because the goal of the author is for us to focus on putting on the new man. The purpose of the scriptures is when you recognize that, you understand that this new self is designed to reflect God's own character and his moral likeness. This is why we have to walk in God's likeness so we can worship away our problems. Because our walk has to match our worship. Because when our walk matches our worship, then the light comes into our life presently. And when the light comes into our life presently, nobody should be able to hold you accountable for your past. This is why we have to excel his actions so we can enjoy his forgiveness. And we have to respond with the right actions so we can receive the right name. What's the right name, Brother Sims? It's definitely not that hypocrite. Because a lot of people don't understand, although we Christians, we're not perfect. We fall short, but we get back up. And as long as we keep getting back up and keep moving forward, God is pleased. But the people only see you falling short and want to label you as a hypocrite. Last example, and the lesson will be yours. A man woke up one morning, grabbed the newspaper, and he read it. And he saw his name in the death column. He called the newspaper right away. He said, look, y'all made a mistake and put my name in the death column. The man on the line, he said, wait a minute, sir. He said, let me go back. Let me go check this. He went back and he checked it. He said, you're right, sir. We apologize for putting your name in the death column. So what we're going to do is we're going to put your name in the birth column tomorrow morning. Now, some of y'all laughing like that, don't make no sense. In the physical world, it don't. But in the spiritual world, that's how we live our life. See, as long as we continue to have a light that shines on the inside, we have to live godly in Christ. So whenever we fall short, we are labeled in the death column, but when we repent of our sins and get back up and live right, God puts us in the birth column like we've just been born again. This is why victory is the only option in our spiritual life. We have to tell ourselves we will be victorious in our life. See, what we need to do, brothers and sisters, I know we quote it when it's convenient, but we got to stand on that word when it says the truth will set you free. And the truth is Jesus. And Jesus sets us free from sin. He sets us free from ourselves, and he definitely set us free from our past. And you and I, if we live right, we can overcome our past. We can overcome our past because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That means we have to believe and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever he tells us in this word, no matter how hard it sounds, we got to follow it. If we be honest with ourselves, some of y'all trust your GPS systems more than you trust God. Have you ever had your GPS system tell you to go the wrong way? If you have it, it's going to happen. But see, God is 100% correct when he tells us what to do. We can overcome our past because of our fellowship with the redeemed. Brotherly love has to continue with us, and we just can't do that on Sundays. I'm talking to myself because a lot of times when you experience a lot of life and death with my father, my grandparents, we just experienced a death of my uncle's wife. Sometimes you just want to seclude yourself in your sorrowness. But God said, that's not why I created you. He needs us to fellowship more than just on Sunday mornings. We need to call one another. Because the more we fellowship and brother love continues, the more you can get away from your past. Because the more you fellowship in the world, they're going to keep pointing to your past. But we as redeemed, we're going to point to the future. We can overcome our past because of our assurance of eternal life. See, his blood cleanses us of our blindness. What do you mean, Brother Sam? Some of us are so blind about our destiny because we're so focused on our past. It's like driving a car. We got this big window in the front, and we can't even see where we're going because we're so focused on the rearview mirror. We're so focused on looking at what happened to us in the past and what we did that we can't even focus on where God is taking us. Never be defined by your past. That means you have to have a vicarious death, kill that old man, a vicarious resurrection where you have a new life and maintain it, and then a vicarious lifestyle where you live faithful from here on. Today's a new day and a new start. You can, if you haven't initiated a relationship with Christ, you got to do that today. You heard the word. All you have to do is believe it. When you believe it, then you repent of your sins. You say, I said it earlier, you have to change your mind. That results in a new way of life. You confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then you get baptized and you initiate a relationship. Don't listen to these worldly preachers. They keep saying, just pray and you be saved. That's not what the Bible says. Mark 16 says, those that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I learned in elementary school, and means you connect the two. You just can't read one part and ignore the other. If you need to initiate a relationship with Jesus, you can do that today by coming up, giving your hand to man, and giving your heart to God, and initiate a relationship with him. Whatever you need to do, you can do as together we stand and as we sing.